Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies to the Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, where you guys are. Edition of the Big Puzzle coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia through the facilities of People Internet Radio. We are a viewer-funded station, so if you like some of the programs and you like what we're doing on this station, please reach into your pocket and make a donation. We'd sure appreciate it. Boy, I'll tell you, I was talking to my guest just before we got on the hour, or got on the show here, and told him I'm going to try and keep my emotions in check today, because I feel like I'm on an emotional roller coaster right now with what I see going on into my country and the absolute lunacy of our government, the hypocrisy of our prime minister. It's kind of got me into it, a point where I want to get into people's faces and scream, but I know I can't do that. So I'll try and keep them. And if I do actually, if a word ever slips out of my mouth, guys, I apologize because once in a while, the state of my emotions right now, it might slip out. But anyways, all that being said, I originally had Stephen Myatt was supposed to join me for this hour. He verified he was going to be in last night, but we were calling him prior to the show here, and we didn't get an answer. So perhaps something's come up, but he gave me an okay last night, and he wasn't able to join us. So for a last-second replacement, which was the first gentleman that came to my mind, I've got Stephen Garvey, who's been gracious enough to join me here for an hour. He is the leader of the National Citizens Alliance here in Canada, a party that is really starting to gain momentum and starting to resonate with a lot of Canadians. Thanks, Stephen, for joining me today on short notice. I know that you're a very tired man. You've been extremely busy. You've been doing multiple podcasts lately, and I see the voice and the word is starting to get out now, friend. Thanks for joining me, Stephen.
Yeah, thanks, Barry, for having me on. There's a lot of issues going on, and at the forefront for us is what we call a globalist agenda that's been going on for decades. It doesn't matter which establishment party you put in, they're all pushing the same agenda. And that's our message to everyone. You know, we got to drain and replace all the globalists in Ottawa. People are just getting played back and forth.
Well, you know,
that's
what we're
message,
seeing.
And that's the honest truth. And Trudeau is just a mere puppet of that globalist establishment, deep state, you know, the Privy Council, all the mainstream media.
They're all in the big party, Stephen, and we're not invited. And I think Canadians are really at this point starting to wake up to this. I hear, I see a mass awakening amongst people. I see numbers increasing in all groups that are standing against the government right now, including your organization. I know you've made leaps and bounds in the last little while. I urge people, Stephen's done multiple videos and podcasts, and I urge people to go to the National Citizen Alliance and look at some of the shows that Stephen's done and the message he's trying to get across to us Canadians that we are truly in a very, very precarious situation right now, that we see this globalist agenda being really ramped up on the Canadian people. But what we're seeing is just a mirror of the agenda that being ramped up on the human race. The same agenda is being played out worldwide by a select group of people. And when we talk about it, we're not talking about just Canada. We're talking about every nation that's involved in the same perpetration of this agenda. We need to, like Stephen says, we need to really get to the root of the problem. And the problem is, of course, we've got a puppet on the right, you got a puppet in the middle, and you got a puppet on the left. And until we destroy that system or get rid of that system, nothing's ever going to change.
Yeah, that's true. Canadians are getting played for, we would say, the 151 years. Two parties of different colors, but just flip sides of the same globalist coin have been in power for 150 years. That is a recipe for the entrenched, deep corruption that we have in Ottawa. Billions every year. It doesn't matter if it's Harper, Trudeau. It doesn't matter who you put in, flow out of the country. There's a catering to the global world order through the UN and affiliates. And this has been going on for decades. It doesn't matter who you put in. And it looks like these parties are getting afraid. They're calling us dangerous now. Globalist conservatives in Ottawa are calling us dangerous.
Far right.
And all I can say is that we are dangerous in one sense, in the sense that we want to drain them and replace them. We're dangerous to them. We want to take their power away. They've lost their way. This country's off the rails. And it's not just the liberals. And people need to wake up to that message. And that's the honest truth. Don't get played with this hate of Trudeau, because then you're just going to put in a globalist puppet from the conservatives. And it'll be the same bullshit going on, everyone. So wake up. That's all we can say. Look at our policies. If you like what we stand for, join the party, donate, become a candidate. We can't keep doing the same. That's all.
Well, you're absolutely correct, Stephen. As long as this same system stays in place, nothing will ever change.
It's not the system. It's also the players. The history shows that these conservatives are even more globalist than the liberals. And they're all part of the same thing. They're just slaying everyone back and forth. That's all they do.
Well,
look at Harper. Harper had the same foreign outflow of money as Trudeau, actually even more. He was funding UNESCO. He put in over $1 billion into climate change in developing countries. He was doing all the stuff that everyone criticized Trudeau of, everything.
Yeah.
He set up Islamic Heritage Month. He sold the weed board to the Saudis. He signed all these anti-Canadian free trade agreements, FIPA. He was just a pure globalist, and he was lying to his base, just like Trudeau lies. They're no different. And this Bernie guy shows how desperate the conservatives are, because they're trying to position themselves on both sides of the fence now. That's the way we view it. But even this Bernie guy is a joke, because he even said he supports mass immigration into this country, and that's one of the biggest things that's harming our country. So the whole thing is a joke.
One thing, he's speaking out of his mouth, one side saying he's against mass immigration, but then this week he
said he supports it. He supports at least 250,000 a year. The guy's a joke.
I meant to say he supports it. I was trying to make a point here, Stephen, of his policy.
Yeah.
I said the wrong word there. Excuse me. He supports mass immigration. In the same mouthful, he's now criticizing the government for mass immigration. So all you're seeing here right now, and we kind of talked about this for a minute before the show started, and I kind of really resonated.
Yeah.
What they're doing inside the Conservative Party, because they know the Conservative Party is gaining momentum. So when a party gains momentum, what do? You divide that party. So henceforth, out comes a statement by Maxime Bernier. Whether it's true, whether it came from his heart, or it's just a play, that's up for, our listeners to decide, but it smells to me. Hello? Did I lose you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, well, that's the way I see this whole situation. I mean, sure.
No, they're playing a game. I think it's just a game that shows that they're trying to play both sides of the fence right now, because they're afraid of parties like NCA growing, and we're getting members from them who are fed up with them. And that's what we see going on. We may be wrong, but we don't think we are.
No, I see a shift in Canada.
I think the guys, they're using him to try and get the support that's coming to us. They're trying to redirect it to them. But, they still have the same globalist agenda. They need to be drained. Scheer is just another globalist puppet. He's just working for the establishment, and it's just going to be the same.
Well, we see him bending over to the Liberals now, and that really speaks volumes about what his true agenda is. I hope Canadians can see through that, man. I really do. All we can do is keep
that's
pushing this
see.
Information. Yeah, we just got
to Yeah, so they're just using him. They don't want Scheer saying that stuff. So it's just a ploy to try and get more support. That's all they're doing. And it's just all talk. So that's all that's going on there. So I encourage people to look at our videos.
How are the numbers in your party? Do you see a major growth here? I've kind of looked at it a little bit. What are you seeing from?
We're growing every day. People are signing up every day, every single day.
Cool.
We need more money, and we'll be doing a bigger outreach soon for that. But we are growing every single day, and we're only going to grow more. So it's pretty neat.
Well, I really hope that at this point in people's lives, they can see the urgency of the situation we find ourselves in, Stephen. I really do. That's my hope and my prayer every day, that Canadians will all of a sudden really stand up to what's going on. But unfortunately, I still see a vast majority of the population just being sheeples and bending over for this government. We really got to kind of reach the Canadian male, I'll say that. Because we really need people at this point. If we don't really, Stephen, if we don't stand up to this, and I'm not going to say exactly how long we got before the country has passed a point of no return, but I can see the country the way it's going right now in 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 years from now. Being in a situation, seeing the attack we see right now on free speech, we see an M103 coming through. I mean, this is the most barbaric piece of blasphemy law that I've ever seen in Canadian history. Yeah. And that is on the rails to be made law. They're going to completely silence our voice. We can see that coming. These are really, really serious issues, and I wish Canadians would take it a little bit more seriously. But until people can get away from corporate communist bull broadcasting corporation and CTV for their news, they're going to still be inside the matrix. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. The thing is, the people joining us, which is really encouraging for us, are people who are awake, who have the inner strength to see through the propaganda, the misinformation, and all the spins. They're joining our party. So our base is going to be extremely strong because these people have broken away and they're awake. So, and it's only going to grow. So time is on our side, Barry, because once you're awake, you can't go back to sleep.
Well, you know,
so time is not on the side of the establishment, because the more Canadians that are awakened, the more they're going to oppose to what these globalist establishment is doing. So time is on our side.
Yeah, but I think that time is limited, Steve, is all I'm trying to
say. It is limited. That's why we have an urgent message to the Canadian people, is that we cannot afford another 4 years of this globalist agenda being imposed on the Canadian people, regardless of what color the party is in power. And we encourage them to donate, join us, run as a candidate. We got to start draining all the globalists out of Ottawa. That is our message, and people need to take it very seriously. And I want to be very clear. When I talk about globalist ideology, I'm talking about global world order, mass immigration, open borders, affirmative action, favoring visible ethnic minorities over Euro-Canadians, stamping down Canadian nationalism. What else?
Transforming our country
into a completely diversified society, kicking down our values, kicking down Euro-Canadian, suppressing our Canadian heritage, our values. This is what the globalist agenda is doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can see it.
We can see that being played out in every aspect of our society right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it is so in our face right now, Stephen. We got to be able to, at this point, say to our fellow Canadians, like, really, what is the most important thing in your life? And to me, I say to myself that, you know, I have children and grandchildren going to be growing up in this country, and I want them to be able to experience the so-called freedoms I had growing up. It's not going to be there. And if we don't get involved, you know what, Stephen, I've said this many times, but we all know this now. It is so in our face that anybody, even CBC, has been exposing absolute corruption now in our government. They're being forced to, if they want to contain or maintain any kind of credibility, they've been forced to expose stories that, you know, if the Canadian people aren't listening and they're not starting to do some research and starting to look into the situation themselves, then I say shame on them. And it's not just looking into it, it's actively getting involved, getting in, whatever aspect. We all have talents, Stephen, and we all need to put those talents to work right now, whatever your talent is. But we need to get physically involved. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're right. And just keep sharing the message. Check our videos out. We encourage people and to share them. And you have to get involved and just think of your children, future generations, and what's going to be left for them. But like I said, more and more Canadians are waking up, and we're growing every day. So it's very positive for us, Barry. And we don't care what the establishment party is. We want to drain, if they're globalists, we want to drain them out. Because a globalist serves themselves in global world order. They don't serve the Canadian people.
Right.
And they've lost their way. Our country's off the rails. It's sinking in debt. There's all this money flowing out of the country. It just doesn't make sense. And people are lied to every day.
Well, the money the government is spending right now, Stephen, is going to take our grandchildren's grandchildren to pay off, if that ever happens.
Doesn't matter. The Harper added over $100 billion. We're ruining added billions. It doesn't matter what party's in there. They're all the same. Hopper had was spending more money on foreign aid out than Trudeau.
I didn't know
that's
that.
A fact.
Is that a fact?
That's a fact. That is a fact. Huh. Actually, yeah, he sent a bit more, but they're pretty much on the same level. He's just slightly higher.
Yeah, I think
and that is a fact. And that's money being dispersed all over the world. And they have what's called bilateral unspecified every year. And Harper in 2011 sent $1.2 billion bilateral unspecified secret all over the world. We don't even know. It's our tax dollars. He just sent it. We don't even know where.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. Hasn't Trudeau exceeded those numbers in leaps and bounds?
No.
I was kind of looking.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't. Okay. If you look at the raw data, he hasn't. And even with climate change in developing countries, they proportionally they spent the same kind of money.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's okay. The truth. And I found that out. Except, you know, he did 2.65. Harper did 1.2. His was over 3 years. Trudeau's is over 6 years. So it actually works out to the same amount of money. So that's the truth.
Well,
and people just need to do your homework, and you'll see that a lot of this criticism of Trudeau actually applies to Harper. And that's what you're going to get if you put these globalist conservatives in.
Well, you know, really right now at this point, Stephen, people really only have to look at what's going on at our border to become very, very concerned about what's going on in our country if they're not paying attention to that.
Yeah, but there was a lot of legal migration under Harper. A lot of people don't know that. Again, Harper did in 2010, he had about 37,000 asylum cases in 2010, and which isn't far off what was last year. Last year they did 47,000.
Yeah, we're on
and actually in 2013 he allowed over 12,500 asylum seekers into our country to receive benefits and all that. That was in 2013. So this illegal migration isn't something new. The establishment conservatives did nothing about it at the border. You know, they criticized Trudeau for not dealing with the Safe Third Country Act, but they did nothing when they were in. So The whole thing is a joke. And all you hear from them is talking about illegal migration. They never talk about the mass immigration agenda, which they support. So we don't see any difference between those parties.
Right. Well,
so they got to be drained, and they call us dangerous now. The conservatives call us dangerous. So it just shows where they're coming from.
Really good effort.
Well, the implications of this mass immigration going on right now in our country are absolutely mind-boggling. And
it's only going to increase.
Well, just the strain on our healthcare systems and our social structure is just mind-boggling. People just don't understand. But you know what, Stephen? When I look what's going on in Canada right now, one only has to look at Europe right now to see an example of what happens with mass immigration. And, you know, a lot of people try to downplay what's going on in Europe. Well, I urge people not to take our word about it. Just go have a look yourself. Go to real reputable sources and find out exactly what is going on in Europe right now. And tell me if you want that coming to Canada, because that's what's coming.
Yep.
Am I wrong?
Yep, exactly. It's coming. The social ethnic enclaves are expanding in Canada. I just talked to anyone who live in areas like Mississauga, Brampton, even Northeast Calgary is an ethnic enclave. They're all over the country now. And the next step after that is no-go zones and then start implementation of their ideologies, right? There could be Sharia courts or whatever going on, but that's what's coming.
Right.
And,
we see that. We see that being played out now in Europe.
Yeah, I think what's really troubling is these establishment parties have allowed certain groups to infiltrate them and
at the highest levels.
And they're only going to expand that because they're power hungry. And but we have to blame the Canadian electorate for keep voting for these establishment parties. And so, you know, as we grow, there'll be an alternative choice, you know. So
well, I think our
vote.
I think our biggest challenge really, Stephen, is to get over the stigma of the idea that we actually have a say in what's going on in this country. We have no voice in that in any shape or form. And if we can get people past that stigma and to really make them understand that unless you see a complete change in system, you'll never see the government working for the country. It wasn't set up that way. It was never, ever worked for the people. And hopefully that would be I think our biggest challenge is to really get the people's hearts and say, look, you know, if you think changing government next time around and voting in Andrew Scheer with all his promises and the new white pony coming in the distance to save the country, you're being deceived. And if we can get over that stigma, then I can see parties like yours and, you know, I like a lot of things that Tim Moen's doing with the Libertarian Party. I don't like a few things in their platform, but you know what? We're all kind of working towards the same objective of eliminating the status quo.
Yeah, I don't know about these other parties. Like I said, we're against this globalist agenda. It's about Canadian people first and standing up for our country, our homeland. So you're not going to get that through the globalist conservatives. You're just going to get the same. So hopefully people listen and they join us and donate, become a member. That's the only way we're going to turn things around.
Well, one of the biggest examples of Trudeau's hypocrisy is his Grapplegate that he's dealing with right now. If the conservative government really was truly working for the Canadian people, they've had an opportunity in the last 10 days to get Trudeau out of power, and they let it go by. So that really speaks volumes for what's going on behind the curtains, wouldn't you say, Steve? Stephen?
Yeah, it's complete hypocrisy, and it's important for people to look, to consider what's being said, but also what is not being said. And you know, they don't want to talk about the big issues. And that party, all they do, they bullshit people, excuse my language, but they talk about ISIS or they talk about illegal migration, and that's about it. And that just shows what they're about. And they're calling us dangerous. So I think that should tell everyone enough about them.
Well, you just watch the word salad that's going to come out in the next little while about groups like us. And like I said, you know, I'm at the point now where it's not beyond the realm of possibility that, you know, people like me and everybody in Canada that is speaking out are going to be completely quashed. And boy, I'll tell you, we get to that point in our society, we really are in a lot of trouble. And that isn't too far off in the distant future. So I guess I really try to reiterate on people that, you know, you just can't sit back. You really got to kind of turn off the baseball game. Who cares who wins the World Series or the Super Bowl or the Stanley Cup? It's just a distraction that's being put in front of us. Keep us divided. You look at down in the States what's going on. And that, you know, I don't want to get into Canadian or American politics, but we're looking at a virtual power keg, a powder keg right now exploding in the United States of America, that if these criminals down there don't get held to justice, then you could see a civil war erupt because there's so much on the plate right now that there's just no way that these American criminals can escape indictment. And if they do, you're going to see a major uproar in the public. But that, you know, don't want to talk about American politics, but it will definitely impact Canada when we see the apple cart turned upside down there. And I think that's all playing into this situation where the globalists have an opportunity to absolutely implement extreme measures. Like if we did see, per se, a civil war break out in the United States of America, it would spill across the border, and hence the guys in the little blue helmets come marching in, and we're under a one world government. Does that sound extreme? I don't think so at all. But I look at a lot of these scenarios, what's going on behind the scenes, and what could there be implications. I kind of make I make sure that people pay attention to what's going on in the States, even though we have a puppet playing a part. There's some major stuff going on down there right now that are going to implement or impact our lives. Stephen, what do you think?
Yeah. Keep an eye on it. It's a good barometer, but probably more so Europe. Europe is getting close to civil war, so we can see that coming there. And we're only going to have more issues. It's hard to say what's going to happen in the U.S., but there's similar issues to Europe and our own. I found out that like the immigration issues in the U.S. are a lot worse than here, mm-hmm. in terms of percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, visible ethnic minorities in Canada are around over 22% of the population. In the U.S., I was told that they're around 42%.
Yeah, much higher.
So they're going to have huge issues with that coming. And, you know, it's countries like Mexico, China that are trying to influence the U.S. And as they have bigger populations in the U.S., they will have more influence. So the West is in the balance right now, Western civilization. And I think the culprit is electorate coupled with sellout globalist politicians. So we and the NCE is part of movements across the West to fight for our homelands and our Western way of life.
Well, I guess it would come down to what people really figure is the most important things in their lives. And to me, like right now, what I see going on, you know, I did go away for a while in the bush there, and I was out harvesting mushrooms, and I got completely away from this whole scenario being played out in front of us. But I'm back now, and I'm appalled to say the least. People say, why don't you just kind of forget about it and walk away and not worry about it? Well, I can't do that, Stephen. I know you can't. I know anybody that's really passionate about what we see coming. We can't walk away, even though we know that in the very near future, we could really, come under serious attack. And I believe those days aren't too far away. So I'm kind of like just at this point, you know, I can't bring up numbers and names and facts like some people. I don't have a computer for a brain, but I think I have a little bit of common sense, and common sense tells me that if we don't snip the head off this snake real quick, the snake's going to get so big that we're just not going to be able to do anything about it. And that's kind of scary. I don't want that for my children. So I urge people, yeah, just take a look at what the National Citizens Alliance is doing. Look at their platform. Look at alternative platforms of parties that are speaking out now and see if that resonates with you. Go ahead, Stephen.
Yes, exactly. So we encourage people to think outside the political box and join parties like the National Citizens Alliance. Canada, Western civilization is in the balance because of sellout globalists, and that's the honest truth. They've sold our country out to what's called the global world order. A lot of it has tentacles in the UN and UN affiliates, the World Bank, IMF, stuff like that, and banking cartels. So that's what's going on. So if you care about your homeland, you need to support parties like the NCA, and that's the truth. Trump is doing the best he can, but he's part of an establishment party that is, you know, partly globalist, so he's got his hands full. And these globalists know that he's only in for 2 terms maximum. So they probably view Trump as just a bump in the road.
Canadian people first. One of the comments I'm reading here from Lori is, she says, Canadian people first, or is it really about all about people versus the establishment that rules the roost?
Yeah, she's right. She's bang on the mark, and hats off to her, because that's exactly what's going on. Canadian people are getting played back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. This has been going on for decades, decades. And the establishment plays the game well. They get you hating Harper, then they get you hating Trudeau, and you just go back and forth. And it's just the same players in the background. They're just different colors on the surface. So that's what's going on. That's why they hate the NCA. They call us dangerous. And Trudeau in 2015 justified not doing electoral reform to keep parties like the NCA down. That was
right.
His justification. So the federal government does not like us. You know, this is about power in Canada. We want to take their power. They want to retain it. So that's the struggle. So that's what we're up against.
Yeah, and expect that.
So we need as many Canadian people behind us. We're dependent on the Canadian people. The more support we have from the Canadian people, the stronger we will be and the more successful we will be. So it's up to the Canadian people. We're just a vehicle. Very mistake not. We're just a vehicle. So if you support us, join us, and we will grow. And otherwise, this globalism agenda will continue, which includes the complete diversification of Canada, stamping out Canadian nationalism, kicking down Euro-Canadians, and we're going to turn into a post-national globalist village. And we're well on the way to that right now. So just to put this in context, in 1960, Euro-Canadians were 97% of Canada's population. Right now, Euro-Canadians are, we figure, around 70%. So we've fallen quite quick. By 2100, we're estimated to fall all the way to 20% or less. If this continues the mass immigration agenda, and 2100, visible ethnic minorities will comprise of 80% or more of the population. So this is the agenda we're on. There's been no referendum. There's no, been no national dialogue. This is all top-down globalist politics being pushed on the Canadian people. And it doesn't matter what party you're dealing with. They all support the same agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And it's well-documented. Anyone who wants to get further proof of this, go read Canada in Decay by Professor Ricardo Deschaine. He documents it.
I urge people to go read that.
Also, he has a chapter in the book specifically on establishment conservatives, showing them, you know, based on fact that they're no different. They're no different at all. And this is based on fact and action of the legislation. I'll give you an example. In 1986, they legislated affirmative action, favoring the hiring of visible ethnic minorities over Euro-Canadians. That was the Conservatives. 1988, they legislated the Canadian Multiculturalism Act, which is about promoting and enhancing foreign cultures in Canada. Harper legislated the Islamic Heritage Month in 2009, in consistency with the 1988 Multiculturalism Act. They're no different. They're part of the problem. They need to be drained. That's the truth.
People have to do a little bit of history research, you know.
Yeah, Stephen, they're going to have to look at the numbers. Harper had historic mass immigration. He let in just under 3 million. From 2005 to 2015, he let on just under 3 million, and from some of the worst places in the world. And there was a lot of low-income workers let into that have undercut the Canadian worker. The primary source of Harper's immigration was the Philippines. What else? It was China, India, Pakistan, Iran. Those were the main sources of Harper. He did Afghanistan. He did all the countries. Just look at the data. It's there for you to be seen. Trudeau's only increased it by about 20,000-30,000 a year. So it's all the same stuff. And they're just going to continue where the – if they by chance get in, they'll just continue where the Liberals left off.
Well, you know what?
Canadians have a choice. So that's why they call us dangerous. They're afraid of us now. And that's the truth. Those are the facts. So do your homework, everyone. Go to our website. We got a lot of videos up. Go to our YouTube page. You'll see them there. It's all facts. And this is the truth, and people have been getting played. So, like I said, I think that guy Bernay is just a way for the Conservatives to try to get some of the support on the right. That's what I think they're up to, because they're afraid of us, because we're growing.
Yeah, I can see that, too, and I can also see it as a mechanism.
I think that's why they're doing it, and they're using him as a goat. They wouldn't have Scheer do it because he'd be directly attacked, right? So they're using someone who, right, like Bernay, to do it because he's expendable.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Exactly.
And you know, if they ever get into power, they'll just put him in a position or something. Who knows what they'll do? Or maybe he did it just for the party, right? But even then, you know, he still supports mass immigration, right? So the guy's a joke anyways.
Well, it's just like Scheer coming out and stating that he supports the Paris Climate Accord. I mean, that speaks
volumes. Yeah, he does. So does Harper. Well, Harper.
Come on, folks. Wake
up. Harper threw $1.2 billion into climate change in developing countries over 3 years of our tax dollars. People didn't know that. And Trudeau's just – and that was over 3 years. And now Trudeau's thrown in, what, $2.65 billion over 6 years. So it's basically the same amount.
Wow.
Right? So that's their agenda.
We find ourselves in a real pickle. You know, one of the questions that I hear every day from people that are involved in speaking the truth, Stephen, is that what's it going to take for Canadians to wake up? And that is monumental question.
Yeah,
what's it going to take,
Stephen?
What's it going to take for us to get these people awake? Because it is so in front of our face now that it's undeniable. So what's it going to take? That's my million-dollar question. And I bang my head every day against the wall asking myself that question. Because it's so in our face now. If we don't wake up to this, Steve, if the Canadian masses, with the amount of information out there right now, if the Canadian masses don't wake up and we don't see a major pushback, then I believe our country's lost. And I don't want to say that because I love my country. I love our, like our so-called perceived freedoms. I love what Canada has given me growing up, and now I see it disappearing. So we find ourselves.
So we just did a rally in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia today, and we had Antifa show up and supporters of them, and they successfully prevented us from holding our rally. They denied us free speech. There was a lot of hateful, divisive rhetoric thrown around, and so that's what's happening to our country, Barry, and they're suppressing us. They're suppressing our free speech, and that's very troubling.
We see it everywhere, Stephen. We see it in our universities. We see it in our schools. We see it everywhere creeping into our society. Well, folks, is this what we want? Do we want to have a society where everything we do, think, say, or breathe is mandated by the government? Because that's where we're going.
Yeah.
And it's scary.
Yes.
Beyond scary, Stephen. I'm going like,
it is.
What is wrong with people, man? What we should, you know, this should be the, what we're talking about here, Stephen, should be the topic of conversation at every dinner table in Canada right now, but it's not. And I go, I'm baffled, buddy. I really am, because like I said, it's so in our face right now. Anybody that follows what the Trudeau government is doing has to ask themselves some really, really big questions. I think people are, maybe they're scared of this, Stephen. I don't know. They want to stay inside the bubble, pretend that somebody else is going to take care of the problems. Well, they're not, man. I mean, anybody that doesn't follow history and understand what history says is doomed to repeat it. And that's exactly where we're going right now. So I kind of, you know, when I have conversations with people, I try and point this out to them that, you know, this is not something that we can ignore, that if we do, and I've used this statement many, many times, but it's so true because it resonates with me all the time, is that our children are going to curse us. And I don't want my children cursing me, man. I'll do whatever I can to get people awake, but we really need the masses involved, man. We need to reach people's hearts.
Yeah. Keep doing your work. You know, your work is important. We gotta share our message.
I'm banging my head against the wall, Stephen. my head's starting to hurt.
like I said, we're getting more people every day, so that's all we can say. That's, you know, and that that motivates us further, right? So.
Well, I hope people take some time really and start taking a look at what we're saying. I say this every time I get on the air. You know, it's your responsibility. Yes. It's your responsibility, really, as a citizen of this country. One that says they love their country and our way of life to take a look at what we're talking about today, because this is really, really scary stuff, guys. It's beyond scary. And I knew years ago that this was coming. You know, I mean, when I first became awake, so-called awake, that was about 10 years ago, I knew that this eventually was going to come in our society, and now we see it manifesting itself. Oh, we still have time, though, Stephen. We still have time. But I just believe that the window of opportunity is getting very small.
Yes, it is. It's an urgent situation, everyone. We can see the expansion of the social enclaves, the mass immigration. They want to push it up. This globalist establishment comprised of the four parties in Ottawa want to push up mass immigration up to 450,000 by 2025. That's what's coming, everyone. And this is tied to commercial interests and the global world order. They want to get our population up to 1 million. 1 million population for Canada. That's their goal.
Right.
And this is all benefiting commercial interests and the big parties through votes and money. So don't be fooled. Don't get played back and forth. So that's all we can do. Like I said, NCA is just a vehicle, but we need the support of the Canadian people. So if you're unsatisfied, if you're frustrated, you don't support what the globalists in Ottawa are doing, then join us. Because we're a vehicle to turn this country around. That's all we can do, Barry. Mm. We're dependent on the Canadian people. We're doing as much as we can. At the end of the day, it's up to the Canadian people.
Well, if I'm able to help spread the word, Stephen, I'm here because we all have different opinions on certain issues in life, and we must be able to, as Canadian people, put those differences aside and unify under one cause right now, and that's saving our country. And I think that should be a cause that will unify people if we, like I said, we can get through the stigma. And all we can do right now, like you said, Stephen, is keep talking, reiterate these points to people, and hopefully that it will sink in and they'll take the time to go look and then maybe look themselves in the mirror and go, hey, what can I do about this situation? Because it's real and it's coming. So that's all I can do is keep talking, man. I try and open my heart up every day to people and say, look, you know, I love everybody on this planet. I don't want to see people subjected to what we see coming. I don't want people living in a country like Saudi Arabia. It's mind-boggling. And, you know, sometimes if I feel like I have an urgency in my voice, I feel an urgency in my life. And I applaud what you guys are doing. I applaud anybody that's really standing up right now. Because I said, like, the window is getting smaller and smaller all the time. And time to get active is now, folks. Go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah, I totally agree. And like I said, we're doing the best I can. Like I said, but we need the Canadian people to step up. So check out our videos, share them, get involved, donate. That's all we can do, Barry. The country's in the balance. I talked to one of our members in Montreal, and he's a businessman, and he made a good point. He said this country's up for grabs, literally. Mm-hmm. There's like a power vacuum in our country. The globalists are dividing us. They're kicking down Euro-Canadians. So there's like a power grab now, and there's certain ethnic groups that are vying for the power.
Well, you see
they're
the power
infiltrating the government. They have infiltrated the government. They're going to continue to do it, and they're going to push their agenda.
Yeah, when we get to a point as a country where we allow a statue of John A. McDonald to be torn down because of political correctness, the fear and the hate that I see in these groups for our culture and our way of life is really showing itself. And if that doesn't tee people off, Stephen, I don't know what will. There should have been a national outcry.
Yeah, well, that's just part of the globalist agenda, kicking down our heritage, our identity.
Destroy our culture, I know. I see it.
Yeah, so we erase our history. We erase, we impact who we are. We negatively impact who we are. We disconnect us from the past, and then we're just floating. So, that's a goal of a globalist. They want us to look from a global perspective, not from a Canadian perspective. And it's a really twisted. We have a lot of videos on our YouTube page at National Citizens Alliance that goes into detail on this, what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it has linkages to social Marxism, where they try to do cultural inversion, turn everything upside down, and that's what they're doing.
Right, cultural cleansing of our society.
Yeah, they don't want strong, independent thinkers. They don't want someone like Trump. They want to erode individual values and beliefs, and then they can control them. And that's
they want to silence any voice of dissent, just like Hitler did.
They're also attacking the family unit. This is a major attack on the Canadian people right now. And you could argue we're under invasion of these groups coming in. Yeah, that's what's going on. So there's still enough time now. Euro-Canadians are what? We figured, you know, they're just below 70% of the population. But, you know, when we get below 50% of the population, it's going to be a lot tougher. And we're going to be approaching that. You could be in 10, 15 years, depending on the mass immigration. That's when it's going to get, when we become a minority across the country, that's when it's going to be a big problem. And more so, just imagine us when we're at 20%. You can just look at South Africa, what's happening to South African farmers.
I know.
And that's what's going to happen to the Euro-Canadians.
I was reading this week on that, Stephen, and it just shocks me to the core, but in the same mouthful it doesn't, because it's all part of the same agenda. And like I said, I applaud what you're doing and your courage, because I know it takes courage right now to stand up against the establishment. We don't have a choice at this particular point. We don't. We either stand up now or we're going to get stepped on. And I myself am not one that's going to be stepped on. So I hope some of the things we're saying today resonate with people, and that they just don't pass it off as another radio show, a couple guys rambling back and forth about the urgency of the situation we see. But we are urgent about this situation, that I don't wish, and I keep thinking about this every day, Stephen, I don't want to see my children subjected to what's coming. And to me, that is the driving force in my life right now, that I wish everybody could share those thoughts, because it is kind of a priority in my life, and it should be a priority in everybody else's life. We're down to the last 10 minutes. I've enjoyed this conversation. I want to get you to talk for a few minutes. I would like, there's one thing
just ask me any question now, whatever you think is important. I'd be happy to answer it.
Just on mass immigration, what are the numbers from the government that Mr. Hussein just laid out? 1 million people in the next 2 years. Is that, am I correct in saying that?
I think that's what he said. I just did something on mass immigration. I can give you the numbers.
Just run them by me real quick.
Yeah, so basically between 2005 and 2015, Harper let in just under 3 million. He averaged over 280,000 a year.
Yeah, I read
in 2016, Trudeau let in, it was 296,000, and then it went up to 300,000 in 2017. So you see, he's just about 20,000 above Harper. This year, they're planning for 310,000. And then they're planning, the government as a whole is planning for 340,000 by 2020. And their goal, the whole establishment goal, is to get up to 450,000 by 2025. So the countries that are coming in, everyone, the primary countries, there's a lot of low-income labor, so they're bringing in cheap labor, and it's undercutting the Canadian worker. And a lot of these people are Filipinos, and we're not against Filipinos, but we support our Canadian people, and we do think it's not right to bring in very low-income workers that are going to undercut our workers. They're bringing in a lot of people from India, a lot of people from China, Pakistan, Iran. Obviously, there's people coming in from Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq. These are the type of people that are coming into our country. And this is just part of the globalist world order. And those are the immigration numbers, everyone. There's no national dialogue on it. You don't get a say. It's just top-down globalist politics. All they say to the Canadian people, trust us.
Yeah, don't look over here. We got it under control.
But they say they don't ask our opinion. They're just pushing this agenda. And it's very clear that this mass immigration does not help, does not benefit the majority of the Canadian people. It's harming our economy. It's harming our environment. And it's harming our society through division, cultural decay. And also another thing, the immigration's, there is some benefit to commercial interests, banks, speculators, low income employers.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it benefits the big establishment parties through votes,
donations,
and more money trickling to them.
Oh, yeah, of course. Look who's lobbying the government and what they get. Look what the government supports in their student programs. Look who they support in their groups. They're all terrorist organizations being funded by this government right in front of the Canadian people's eyes. I mean, what more does it take, Stephen? Why can't people get mad? I mean, I'm mad. I know you're mad. You control your anger real well, but I know deep down inside you're peeved right to the core on what you see going on.
It's
like, how can you not be mad?
Well, it's important to direct your energy in a positive way.
I understand.
There's no point just venting. It doesn't
cursing
do anything. You might as well join a party like the NCA and help us drain these globalists out. Right?
Yeah.
So then your energy is being used in a very constructive and precise way. But just staying at home and getting all angry and that type of stuff is not going to do anything. You got to go out there and make the world that you want, make the Canada you want, create the Canada you want. You got to make it happen.
I'm just saying, I'm hoping by saying that, that people are going to get angry, Stephen, if they actually, when they get to a point of being angry, they'll want to do something about the situation. Because I think with a lot of people, it's going to have to be, they get to that point where they're getting mad and they get to the point where they actually want to start getting involved. So anger is good if it's channeled in the right direction. You're absolutely correct with that statement. And I control my anger. It wells up inside of me because I see how my country is being destroyed and how I love my children and my country. But of course we have to control that anger, and I try. Sometimes it wells up. I mean, if we're not mad about what we see going on, then you truly do have your head in the sand. So we're down to the last 4 minutes here, Stephen. So what I'm going to do is allow you the opportunity to share your links and talk about your party a little bit more before we have to say goodbye for another time.
Excellent stuff. Thank you for having me on, Barry. I really appreciate independent journalists like yourself getting the message out. And I encourage the viewers to get informed and to share the message. And, the bottom line for the National Citizens Alliance, we're all about the Canadian people, standing up for our people, protecting our homeland, protecting our country, which we love so dearly. We're very concerned at the direction of the country. We do not support the globalist agenda. We do not support the complete diversification of Canada. We do not support turning Canada into a post-national globalist village. We stand for our Canadian identity, our heritage, our basic cultural norms, which define us who we are as Canadians. And we need to protect this and enhance it. And that's what we're all about. We do not want to become a globalist village. So we're calling on anyone out there who's Canadian to join us so we can drain and replace the globalists in Ottawa who are pushing this agenda on our people. We support free enterprise. That's a big thing. We support keeping government as much as possible out of Canadian people's business. We support Canadian nationalism. We support fiscal responsibility, paramount, especially with the massive debt owed by the federal government, over $1 trillion market debt. We support significant governance reform that will give the power back to the people as a whole. We support responsible, balanced immigration, and that means, we're looking at 50,000 or less coming into the country. We don't believe, like you said, we believe mass immigration is not only bad for the economy, the environment, and our society, it's hurting most Canadians. It's costing, we figure now, the administration of the immigration to Canada costs $24 billion a year. And then the people coming in, their taxation negative annually to the tune of $35 billion plus.
Right.
That means they're consuming more services than taxes consume. So if you combine the two, the immigration is costing around $60 billion a year, and it's also hurting the Canadian worker getting work. A lot, some of these people coming in are working under the table for cash, and it's making tougher on the Canadian worker. We want to put a big emphasis on retraining those Canadians who are not working so they can get back into the workforce and contribute to our country. And so that's a bit about our policies. We're also very concerned about the taxation in this country. We're highly overtaxed, and it's part of the social welfare system we have, which is highly inefficient. Right now, the average Canadian's paying around 43.6% of their income on tax. 43.6. We wanna cut taxes big time. We want a flat tax. That's something we support. Canadians under the poverty line of 22,000 would not have to pay tax, and we would have tax. People between 22,000 plus up to 200,000 would just pay 15% flat tax. People above 200,000 would pay 25%.
Another issue we want. Before. Go ahead.
Yeah, we also want to restructure this Canadian pension plan. That is a complete. That is one of the biggest ripoffs in Canadian history right now.
It is.
The Canadian people are paying into that all their lives, and they're getting, what, $651 on average when they retire. It's a ripoff. Under our plan, they would average around 28,000 a year, and we would allow them to pass on when they die to their spouse or their kids 100%. Right now, they can only pass on half to their spouse.
Okay, we're down to the last minute here, Stephen. Everything you just said resonates with me, and I'm sure it resonates with people that are listening. I want to thank you for joining me today on short notice.
Yeah, thank you.
And it's always a pleasure talking with you, sir, and I urge people to go take a look at the National Citizen Alliance. And if you like the platform and you like some of the things that were said during the course of this hour, please get behind the party. So thanks for joining me, Stephen. We're going to take a break here for about 2 or 3 minutes, and I got a very articulate speaker joining me for the second hour. Please stay tuned for Frank Vaughn. He's a man I would love talking to. Thanks again, Stephen. Yeah. And we're gone for a couple minutes here.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, welcome back, folks, to the second hour of my Sunday afternoon show, Sunday evening where you guys are, or wherever you're listening to in the world. I want to say thanks again to Stephen Garvey for joining me on short notice today. It was a good conversation, and I look forward to talking to him again in the near future. I'm joined here by a second hour. I mean, I think it was a couple months ago, 2.5 months ago, I had Frank Vaughn on one of my shows, and one gentleman that some of his podcasts, man, I just love the work he's doing and how he articulates his speech and how he really lays it out to Canadian people, what we're seeing going on in our government. Thanks for joining me for the second hour, Frank. And what's on your mind, my friend?
Well, there's a lot of things on my mind. I guess, I don't know.
Where do you want to start?
Well, I guess the personal pet project right now, the thing that I've been thinking about the most is the comments and the tweets, the Twitter storm is what I would call it, that Maxime Bernier has been on, talking about cultural identity, talking about rejecting identity politics. I mean, he's really been taking a conservative stand against the Liberal Party of Canada, and it bothers me to see what he says misconstrued by what I would say are so-called conservatives, who take what he say, misconstrues it, basically aligns with what the Liberal Party's saying, and throws them under the bus. This is a real problem for me, because in this country, people are really hungry for a champion. And when I say that, what I mean is a champion of ideas. And just to set this up, government and law, Canada itself is a nation. It's the same thing as Christianity or Islam. They're ideas. They're only held in place by how many people share those ideas in common. They don't have any reality. Like, legal frameworks, national frameworks, provincial frameworks, they only work so long as people believe in them. And it's the same for things like freedom of speech, liberty, freedom of action, freedom of movement. All of these so-called rights are ephemeral. They only have reality in proportion to how many people believe they have reality and value. And nowhere in the political landscape of this country, in my opinion, is there, there are some individuals, but in the Conservative Party of Canada, which in reality is the only hope you have for beating the Trudeau Liberals in 2019, they seem so content to say as little as possible, champion as little as possible, and cater to the same sort of identity politics that the Liberal Party of Canada is known for. And these aren't, in some circles, I mean, most people get it, but some people get really upset when I say these sorts of things. But I read a statement the other day. It was Andrew Scheer's condemnation of Maxime Bernier. And in the first two paragraphs, he basically says Max doesn't represent anybody, even though, you know, on the first ballot of Conservative Party leadership, this guy won like 2/3 of the votes because of his ideas on that first ballot. And, you know, he represents a lot of thinking. And first he says he doesn't represent anything, and then he goes on to say in the second paragraph, I don't like this, I'm paraphrasing, but I don't like people who play identity politics. And then he goes on in the third and fourth paragraph to play identity politics. And then you go to his Twitter feed, and it's like, Happy Indo-Canadian Day, Happy Indo-Pakistan Day, and just to make sure, he's like, Happy Acadian Day. When was the last time somebody came up here and said, hey, I identify as an Acadian? It doesn't work. So it's like, he's playing identity politics, and then he's trying to condemn identity politics at the same time. You know what? I'm so sick of that. I'm sick of it. It's weak. It's catering to people who are never, ever in their life going to vote conservative. It's like trying to win voters from the Liberal Party. Are you kidding? It's not going to happen. There's like,
The high The hypocrisy runs deep, Frank. But Scheer really showed his colors here in the last couple of weeks. And if people can't see it, then they really truly have their eyes closed at his hypocrisy. You know, to me, nothing will ever change in Canada. Well, we're still voting for party on the left, party on the right. You got puppet on the right and puppet on the left. And Scheer is truly showing that he's just another puppet being played by globalist agenda. My guest in the first hour there really resonated with me with his platform for the National Citizens Alliance. There's things in that party, some of the things they said I don't like, but a lot of things they say truly resonate with me. And if they're speaking legitimately from the heart of the party, then I kind of urge people to take a look at another alternative in Canada outside of the puppet on the right, puppet on the left, and puppet in the center. It'll never change while that system's in place. What do you think about that statement, Frank?
I think what we're up against, if you're going to look at creating a new party, the tough thing is that whether we like it or not, the majority of the country is going to vote red or blue. We're talking 70-80% are going to vote red or blue no matter what. And for me, when I look at the Conservative Party and I look at the leadership cycle that elected Scheer this time around, there were, I think, 150,000 at most eligible ballots for that leadership cycle. Now, if you divide that riding by riding, that's not a whole lot of people in the ridings who actually hold CPC memberships. There's a city near me, Oshawa, Ontario. It has 300,000 people in it. If that little mid-sized city, if you spread across the entire country, 300,000 people, heck, forget it. You only need 75,000 people to buy memberships, and we can take over the Conservative Party of Canada. You know how I know that? Because that's how Jagmeet Singh took over the NDP. There were something like 60,000 people signed up. The vast majority of them were Khalistani Sikhs, and they took over the NDP, and good for them. They knew how to play the game, and they took over a political party. Well, why, in my opinion, people, if we had pushed a little harder, if the libertarians out there, people who are hungry for something different, had to just swallow their pride, spent the $10, bought themselves a Conservative Party membership a year ago, we'd have different leadership right now. And you know, I appreciate what people are doing. I think realistically, it's a takeover. It's a hostile takeover of a federal party that is going to get the job done when it finally does get the job done. Now, I know there's a good case against that because it hasn't happened yet. But why hasn't it happened yet? When you only have, in a contentious leadership election like that, you at the height of tension and people are celebrating, you know, Maxine talking about ending Pierre Elliott Trudeau's socialism, while all the other Conservatives on stage are basically defending equalization and screwing the West, defending supply management, all these other things. People were really excited. At the height of that excitement, there was only whatever it was, 125,000 or 150,000 memberships purchased that were eligible to vote. That is shameful. And the other part of it is, we allow them to get away with the lie, and that's what it is, it's a lie, that the leadership election itself was audited. It wasn't audited. Deloitte themselves, the people who were supposedly hired to audit it, they came out and issued a statement and said, we never audited that thing. Nobody audited it. Nope. There's no record of how that thing went down. So we don't actually know because it had this convoluted point system. So the majority didn't. We're not talking about an electoral college, okay? We're talking about a very convoluted point system that, without an audit, could be easily gamed. And I'm not saying it was gamed, and I'm not saying it wasn't. What I do know is that we now have a guy who won the leadership. The day after he won the leadership, his website was wiped. So whatever positions he actually did have, they're gone. And since he won a year ago, he hasn't issued any policy. There's no positions. There's lukewarm criticism of the government. His first act was to whip a vote for the Paris Climate Treaty and its carbon taxes. Now, this is a guy who claims he's against carbon taxes, yet he forced his MPs, he didn't ask them to, he forced them to go to Parliament and vote for the Paris Climate Treaty. There was only one person who voted against it. Only one. Max didn't show up that day. There were some other MPs that just didn't go to work that day because they refused to vote for that treaty. So if this guy's against carbon taxes, why is he whipping his MPs to vote for the Paris Climate Change Accord? And I've been asking Conservatives this for a year, and most of them are woke, but the Scheer bots, they don't want to answer that question. And they deny it. They didn't, you know, like, there was two of them the other day. They were really on me. They're calling me a traitor. They're saying I'm single-handedly destroying the party. And I said to them, you know, I said this in my last video. If a rube like me with a webcam and a computer is destroying a federal conservative party, a national party. How pathetic is the party? But they said it didn't happen. He never voted for the Paris Climate Treaty. He didn't do this. And I'm like, okay, so I sent them a Rebel Media article, and they're like, oh, that's an editorial. That doesn't count. So I sent them something from Huffington Post from the other spectrum. They're like, well, you just use news articles. So then I go to parliamentaryrecord.ca, I find the actual vote, and I send that to them, and they're just like, well, it didn't happen. And I'm like, it's history. It happened. You gremlins, you moops. Like, what can I do to convince you that this is reality? And Barry, before I continue on, that's just one. How many other things can I list? And I can list quite a few. Where Scheer has sided with the Liberal Party of Canada or Pierre Elliott Trudeau's legacy of socialism. Like, where's the difference? Show me the difference.
There is none, Frank, and you're spot on. I've watched this develop, and it's just a charade. And I think our biggest, like I said earlier in my first hour with Stephen, is you know, sure, the conservatives are our only option right now to defeat the liberals, but I don't see it out of the realm of possibility of Canadians really waking up to the charade that's being played. And another political party coming to the forefront in Canada. We've seen it happen in Europe. We've seen it happen in other countries where people get to a point where they're tired of the lies. And I follow politics for quite a few years of my life, and I've yet to find a politician that really tells the truth. They might want to tell you. They might be playing. I'm just putting another opinion, another idea out in front for us to talk about is that, you know, sure, okay, we see this enveloping. We see what Maxine did. We see the rally behind him. But I have to stay outside the box all the time. I applaud what he did. I applaud it. But I still have to stay outside the box.
Yeah, you know, and I don't blame you for that position, and I actually respect it. And you're very right that in this day and age where we're so interconnected, you know, we can have conversations like this, and all of us can be broadcasters and have opinions and have conversations online around the country. Things can happen and change quick, especially if you get people who are frustrated enough and have enough national traction to decide to try and make something happen. Change can happen. But on another note, we just had this play out in Ontario. I don't know how familiar BC is with the political saga that was the Progressive Conservative Party under Patrick Brown, who's corrupt, just like Andrew Scheer is purging the electoral district associations of pro-freedom members, and just like the Conservative Party of Canada, I'm a blasphemer, I hope they're listening to me, the Conservative Party of Canada is refusing to sign nomination papers for people they don't like who are too outspoken and value freedom too much. That was going on in Ontario. Patrick Brown was parachuting his friends into ridings into nominations. There was ballot box stuffing, lights were going out, there was all this crazy stuff going on. He was in favor of carbon taxes. He was in favor of women's radical sex ed curriculum, where they're basically sexualizing your children. Like, there was no tangible difference between him, the NDP, and the Liberal Party of Canada. And, you know, when he called him out on it, hardcore PC members were just like, oh, you're going to destroy our chances. Like, what do you want to do? Destroy Ontario? This is terrible. This is terrible. You can't create this division this close to an election. And what happened? We got rid of the guy. And then we actually got a champion in Doug Ford, who actually espoused some real conservative values. And guess what? We won the leadership cycle, and we won the election. And you know what? Maybe there's more that he could do. You know, there's people who say, oh, there's more he can do. But he's delivering on what he said he would deliver, and he called back the legislature to work during summer holidays to
unheard
get
of.
Stuff done and get his form stick on.
Yeah, that's unheard of, Frank. I'm well aware of the fact that he recalled legislator in the middle of summertime. I mean, that's just not been done. I think the last time that was done, I was looking at history there. I think it was 1964 or something. But anyways, you know, Doug Ford, I'm standing on the outside and watching what the man is doing. But he has delivered on more of his platform than Kathleen Wynne did in 10 years of power. How long was she in? 15 years?
Or McGinty before her.
Yeah, yeah. Of course. Same thing. Same agenda. So, you know, to fix Ontario, nobody's going to be able to come in there and fix the problems created by the Liberals in a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or even a couple of years. Uh-huh. It's going to take 4 or 5 years to correct the problems. But I'm standoffish. I'm standoffish with any politician, but I really like what Doug Ford is doing in Ontario. He's turning the apple cart upside down. Well, I'll just have to stand back and make sure the guy's for real.
Well, I hear you. You know, and it's good to do that. You're very wise. And paid when I have to. Like, I was not happy about that. And I thought that might signal that he was gonna back down on some things. So I thought the best thing you can do is apply pressure and don't be quiet and actually have a voice and raise your opinions and be articulate and get angry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, looking at it now, he's still following our advice. They're still reforming the curriculum and they're still on course. Like, it's worked out better than I think anybody could have hoped. But that's the point I'm trying to make.
I actually called to verify this information that I've been hearing about the sex ed program in Ontario. I actually phoned Doug Ford's office this week, and I had talked with one of their representatives. And, yeah, that program will not be taught in the fall semester this year in Ontario. They'll be going back to the semester or the program that they were using in 2014. What's really disturbing now is the articles I read about the teachers union in Ontario are telling us that they're going to go ahead and teach this education program, even though it's going to be against the law. That kind of crap I see going on is really undermining our society. And I'd like to have a talk with one of these people at the teachers union, but we know what's going on there, Frank, and the underlying powers. But everything he said so far, he seems to be coming through on, and we do see a wave of true conservatism rising in the country. And what the country needs right now is a true conservative person, not a person, a puppet on the right or a puppet on the left. The country needs a true conservative rise. And I think if that happened, you'd see tremendous support. Why don't you run for parliament, Frank?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm the right guy for that job. I can, there's probably better and cleaner people than me out there. But,
don't take that away from you. I urge people to go and listen to some of Frank's podcasts because, like I said, I've met a lot of people, Frank, that are very good at articulating speech and making points. And you're right up there on the top of the list, buddy. So more power to you and just keep doing what you're doing because we really need voices out right now that are really speaking loud. And you, everything I've heard you say in your videos, and I've listened to quite a few of them, I think I've watched them all at one point, really resonates with me. And we need people to go and listen to everybody's opinion right now, no matter who it is. Anybody that's speaking the truth right now, we need you to go listen to their opinion. Go ahead, Frank.
No, I
think of Grapplegate. Sorry. Let's talk about Grapplegate for a few minutes. And
the fact that
Grapplegate, you know, Justin Trudeau and his sexual misconduct. And bring that to people's attention because I don't think we're actually broadcasting on a station in oh boy, I better get this right, Scotland. I better get that right or I'm going to be condemned. But anyways, I don't think they're fully aware of what's going on in Canada with Trudeau's exposure of his false feminism and everything else that's going on. Let's talk about that for a couple minutes.
Well, it's been fake from day one. And you're talking about a guy he's vacuous and empty. There's no substance to Justin Trudeau. Everything is a message. Everything's virtue signaling. He got caught red-handed. This lady that it was 18 years ago, but it doesn't matter. And the reason it doesn't matter, I'll get to, but 18 years ago, he groped a reporter who was working for a small paper that was owned by the National Post. And he doesn't deny that it happened. She doesn't. She actually says it happened exactly as she said it did. And after what Trudeau did, though, was he set himself up. He basically said there's zero tolerance in the Liberal Party for any sexual misconduct. A person will be held personally accountable. Da 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 da. They built this whole bloody feminist narrative that they're going on. Well, Trudeau got caught red-handed, and when he gets caught, his explanation is that the quote was something like, "Well, two people can interpret the same events differently." That was his excuse. That's pathetic. Two people can interpret events. So she interprets it as sexual, you know, he groped her in a way that she was not comfortable with, sexual misconduct. And I guess Trudeau interprets that as it's cool. And then now, you know, there's all these other pictures and instances showing up where he touches everybody. He's like, he kisses brides at weddings. Like, I mean, who walks up to a bride at a wedding and kisses her and takes a picture of it? Like, the guy is, he's so vain. It's all about him. Even when he showed up for this terrible shooting that happened on the Danforth in Toronto, he, after 7 days of relative silence where he doesn't interrupt his vacation, he finally decides to come back from BC to attend the funeral, and it's basically just a photo shoot for this guy. And he actually, he puts the wreath on the coffin there, and he looks up and pauses for the
I'm fully aware of this whole situation, Frank, and it's just another example of his hypocrisy. I'm at a point now, I have to force myself, Frank, literally, I have to force myself to listen to the man talk, because I get violently ill just listening to the guy talk. It's almost like a gag reflex now. Go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I'm being truthful. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, and here's the thing about that. This guy's our prime minister, okay? I used to talk like he did when I was younger, all over the place. You train yourself to stop doing that. You train yourself. I used to blink too much. When I first started shooting videos, I blinked too much, and I said to myself, I blink too much. I got to stop blinking all the time. So I started forcing myself to blink. I used to have terrible grammar. I couldn't tell the difference between there, and your, and all that other crap, or where commas were supposed to go, or semicolons. I trained myself. I'm just a rube, man. I'm just a peasant, and I made myself better. Why is this guy as our prime minister so friggin' pathetic that he can't even get through a sentence? But back to the point. This Gropergate thing was huge, and is huge. And just to link it back, Andrew Scheer had an opportunity there to pull this guy down. Because I think that if you made a big deal out of it, you could have pulled Trudeau out of power, because all you have to do is you have to make the Liberals understand your jobs are in jeopardy, your free ride, your free lunch is in jeopardy. And if you don't get rid of this guy, he's going to lose so monumentally in 2019, you need to come up with somebody to replace him right now, regardless of his last name. And all Scheer had one comment, and was, I thought the public judge. What?
Yeah.
What?
I heard that. What a crock of crap, man. He had, I brought that up in the first hour, Frank, that he had an opportunity to bring down the government, and he let it slide by. Well, that speaks volumes. If he truly is a conservative speaking for Canadians, he would have jumped all over that, all over it.
Yeah.
And he did let it fly by, you know? Well, what the hell?
No, 100%.
Folks? That speaks volumes for exactly what's going on inside our government. And like, Scheer is just a puppet. And I hope the Canadians can see through this, holding this guy accountable for some of his actions. But, of course, they've got the media protecting
him. Thanks, Greg. We appreciate that.
Where can you get a turtle rack?
I'm sorry, there's a guy on the highway who doesn't know how the road works.
Frank's on the highway right now driving, but he's got a hands-off set, so we're all good. But yeah, bear with him.
Yeah, no, I'm legal. I'm 100% legal.
The reception isn't the greatest. Bear with us, guys. Go ahead, Frank.
No, but so Scheer on that, letting Trudeau get by. So, you know, most people get it. Most people are like, where is Invisible Andy? Where is Smiley? Like, I mean, that's all he does. He's either invisible or he's smiling, which are the two things he shouldn't be doing ever. But anyway, where's Smiley at? So Smiley doesn't show up. The thing is, his the Scheer box, as I call them, because you can't have a rational conversation with these people. You might as well be talking to Liberals. And I'm not trying to demean this. I'm trying to have a realistic conversation about what the guy's actually doing. It's not about Bernier. It's about leadership. It's about what this guy's leadership style looks like. And the best excuse they can come up with, they're like, well, what's he supposed to do? He's not in government. You know, he doesn't have any power, so, like, he can't really do anything. And I'm thinking, I make videos that drive you people nuts, and I'm nobody. This guy has access to the press pool whenever he wants. He's got, you know, hundreds of thousands of Twitter followers. He's got Facebook. He can create a storm any time he wants, and he can maintain that storm for 14 months heading into 2019 and create such a political force with the network and access that he has that he could drive. He could drive the Liberal Party from retirement.
There's so many aspects of what you just said is true, Frank. There's so many things that he could be attacking the government on right now, and he's just sitting back watching it all go down. Speaks volumes, my friend. Go ahead. Oh, did we lose him? What happened there? He must have lost. Can you try and dial him again there, Steve?
Yeah, we must have lost him.
Bear with us, folks. He is on a mobile, and he's on the highway. So we must have lost him there for a second. But yeah, just those actions alone by Andrew Scheer speaks volumes for exactly where this party stands. And I hope we get Frank back here, because I love listening to the guy talk. He's just a wealth of information. I don't have one of these brains that can retain information like that, unfortunately. But I know he's not reading off script right now because he's driving. So, but yeah.
Cut off?
Yeah, we got you back, Frank.
Oh, okay. No worries. Yeah, I was ran away, and then I hear it ringing. I know. I was like, who the hell called me?
Gotta love seltzer, as I was just saying. You know, what I like about you, Frank, is this is all coming out of your head, man. I mean, you're not sitting in front of a TV with bullet points right now. So, man, I wish I had a brain.
This is who I am.
I wish I had a brain. I know, but I wish I had a brain like yours that could retain that kind of information, but I don't. So I love listening to you.
I'm 38 years old, half grade.
You know what? I'm just a common sense guy, Frank. You know, I don't profess to have a brain that can retain information like some people I get on. So I love having you on because you've got a little computer in there that can bring up information that I love people to hear. Go ahead, my friend.
No, you know what, man? It's who I am. I've been this way for as long as I can remember. Like, I don't know about computer brains or whatever, but I care about the country, and I care about politics, and I care about truth, and I care about values. And the older I get, the more focused that gets. And this is who I am. When I'm offline, this is who I am. My poor wife just gets yelled at 3 hours a day, and I'm not yelling at her, but I'm like, I'm talking about this stuff because I live it, I breathe it. When I do my videos, you know, people will say, you got like 30 tabs open on Firefox. And it's, you know, for your videos, you don't get to half of them. It's like, well, that's every day. Like, I read as much as I can every day when I'm not working. Like, that's the other thing I do. I don't know how else to be. And the part that bothers me is that it appears to me that it's so true that politicians are so worried about getting caught telling the truth that, like, that's all you really need to say. They're more concerned about being caught telling the truth than they are about telling the truth. God forbid they say anything real or firm. And when somebody does, like when a Bernier comes out and starts dropping truth bombs all over the place, it's a big scandal and it's a controversy, except everything he's saying is true. And there's nothing that he's saying that's racist. Like, I mean, the state of political discourse drives me up the wall because we can do so much better. We live in the age of interconnectivity. We could, in terms of consciousness, we have the ability to do so much better, and we don't. The only reason we don't is people just don't want to do the tough work, especially our leaders. They just don't want to do the work. They don't want to fight. They don't want to risk being called names. I mean, remember sticks and stones break my bones? Now all of a sudden, like, name calling. People call you a racist. Oh, you're not supposed to talk. You're a racist. And you're supposed to kill that. You're a bigot. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, I get called that all the time, dude. It's like, I look at the readership, like, on Facebook there, on YouTube, or the people who read the articles on the website. I've got one of my biggest fan bases are Asians. It's like, well, I guess I'm a terrible racist, but like of the few people who donated money, like two of the largest, the two biggest donations I've ever had, which I'm not going to get into numbers. It's not a lot, dude. Like, it's not a lot, but I mean, they're Asians who are hungry for a voice. And they're starting to get involved in the, and they love this country, man. When I went up to Ottawa last, I filmed a thing last September where I went to an Antifa rally thing. It's a long story, but it's on YouTube there. And like, I asked these Antifa people, like, what are you doing here? And they didn't have any answers. But when I walked around Parliament the day before, man, it's like, it's so many, and I hate to even discuss it in these terms, but that's the times we live in. You've got Asians, you've got Sikhs, you've got all these different backgrounds. They're there taking tours of Parliament. They're there reading the about our Supreme Court. They're there learning about our institutions. They're attending the opera, like our Canadian opera. They're opening their pocketbooks and donating to these Western value systems. And I'm not trying to say it's all of them, but it's like, mm-hmm. they care about our culture, and so do I. And they're mm-hmm. and they're people who I have conversations with, but I'm a bigot. You know what I mean? I'm a terrible guy. I'm a bigot. It's like, find where I'm bigoted. I don't get it.
It's hypocrisy. You know, one of the reasons we see the support, and I think in the Asian community, Frank, is that they're a much more connected community as far as their family unit goes, that they've come to this country, and this country has blessed them with lots of things that they never had where they came from, and they see this evil coming into our country, and they know it's going to affect them in the future. Henceforth, I see the support coming from the Asian community. You're not the first person to say that to me. So these people are true Canadians. They want to support Canada. They love our culture, and they're true Canadians, but we have this small sector in our society right now, and it is a very, very small group of people that are causing all this discourse. We as a people got to stand up against this, Frank.
Yeah. I I got a funny little anecdotal story you'll probably appreciate. I've got two friends, and they are my friends. I care about them deeply, but they're the one is. Are we still good? We're still here.
Yeah, we're still here. You're still good, bud.
Okay. Good. Yep. The one guy, he's basically a communist, and his girlfriend's not far off, right? So we have some really spirited political discussions. It's pretty tough sometimes because I just think if you can actually espouse that you're a Marxist, there's something wrong with your head, and that or you're young and you're immature. But if you can actually say I'm a Marxist and you're in your 30s, I got a real problem with that. But and I'll have that discussion. But anyway, they're it's funny because there was some Syrian a Syrian family, a refugee family that moved into their apartment. So they're helping these people out. And they're telling me about the process over the last few months of getting to know these people and whatever. And I'm a big fan of judging people on their own merits and their own belief systems, right? Not where they come from or where they were born. I hate that stuff no matter which way it goes. But anyway, they're helping these people out. And, they face some challenges and stuff. They've got some help, but they face some challenges. And people are pretty upset about that issue right now, and rightly so. They have cause. But, after all this 2 months of getting to know this family or whatever, my friend calls me up and they're just like, Frank, I hate to admit this to you. And I'm like, what's that? I said, we were talking. And when these people, as soon as they're able to vote, when they qualify, the first thing they're going to do is vote conservative. And they're going to vote conservative for the rest of their lives because they hate the Liberal government. And the interesting thing is, when you go and you talk to these immigrant communities, whether it's Eastern European, Ukrainian, Russian, Chinese, whatever, they get it, man. They get it. If the Liberals think they're going to import their political destiny and they're just going to, everybody that they bring in and they throw open the borders are just going to vote for them eternally, they got something else coming. They've got a noose around their neck, and the tree is slowly growing. Because the people who legally come here, dude, they value this country. The vast majority of them have legally gone through the procedures to get here. They value the institutions, they value the culture, and they absolutely hate this government for trying to destroy it.
Right, and
they really don't like food jumpers.
Well, yeah, and then you see people that are trying to come into Canada legally through our immigration system being pushed to the back of the table, and illegals, the doors are wide open for illegals, and they're just streaming into our country. I read reports right from the government on the lack of vetting on a certain percentage of these people. One really, really must ask themselves a question exactly what the agenda is if we're allowing people to come in this country unvetted, that are basically unvetted. And even the ones that are being vetted, Frank, if you look at the system that they're using, they're going to these countries and trying to get information on these people. Well, most of it doesn't exist, that it's being fabricated, and through cyberspace, this is being brought into our country. I mean, I read some real hardcore reports on this, and boy, I'll tell you, it's a pretty, pretty deceivious deception being played on the Canadian people right now, and I hope they wake up to it. Because a lot of these people coming into our country are going to kill us, and henceforth we see some of the things that are propping up now in Canada, like, of course, the Danforth shooting and the other things that have happened in Toronto. Is that the new norm for us, guys? I hope not.
Well,
your thoughts?
100%. Well, I think one of the more damaging things culturally is the suggestion, and this is, and it's become, you can't even suggest anymore, and this was Bernier's mistake, you can't even suggest that the immigration system should benefit Canadians. That itself is being billed as racist. So when you say, I want immigration that benefits the country, not the world, you're a racist, you're a terrible
you're
person,
a bigot,
you're a white supremacist,
I know.
You're a bigot. You're a bigot. Even if you come from China, or even if you come from India, or even if, whatever place you come from, even if you come from those places and you think that, you're a terrible person. You're a bigot. To even suggest that Canada should look after itself, that's a huge problem. And I think in the end, that's what's going to bring it all down, is because anybody, again, who's taken the time to come here legally through the right channels, they don't like it. They like it even less, because you know what? Coming through the right channels, it's actually quite the process, and it's quite the sacrifice.
It takes years.
I'm familiar with it in a couple ways. It's very expensive, and it does take years. And rightly so, it should be a process. There should be a degree of assimilation. There should be a degree of, you have to value the systems that we value, or you're not welcome here, and that's fine, That's fine. It's not racist to say so or any of that crap. I reject that. I mean, people can call me racist all day. It's a joke. It's a joke. I don't even take it to heart anymore. And that's I want that from my leaders. I'm so sick of this idea that, Andrew Scheer, I like picking on him right now because he's the guy, and, is supposed reporters say, well, they don't want the media calling them a racist because, you know, if they call them a racist, what a terrible thing. It's like it's a name, and it has no value anymore. It's a joke. They said Doug Ford was a white supremacist or a white nationalist. What a joke. I've been to his rallies. I've seen the people that go there, and they're saying he's a white nationalist. Are you kidding me? Give me a break. It's not even, and that's how Ford dealt with it. He laughed it off, and he won the election, and, you know, the people who say that stuff, suck it.
Well, of course, in Canada, you know, we face the same problems that they face in the United States with media. And so people can understand that the media is not our friends, that they're completely controlled by the government, that there would be a monumental step forward, Frank. You know, it's a joke what the CBC is doing and how biased they are, but it's right in front of our faces. And people got to get away from the CBC. There's other avenues of information. You know, I'm not a big supporter of the Rebel. I listen to his videos, and a lot of the stuff they say makes sense. There's a lot of stuff they've said that I don't agree with, of course, but I always go and listen to what they got to say because they are an alternative voice. I say to people, don't judge a book by its cover. Don't listen to what the mainstream media is saying. Go listen for yourself. Like I said, yeah. I'm not here pumping the Rebel, but I do listen to their videos, man. I like a lot of things that they're saying. They're bringing truths forward to the Canadian people that no other alternative media or station is doing right now. So
there is
information out there. Go ahead, Frank.
No, I was just going to agree with you, man. Like we're also right at the beginning. If you don't like Rebel, that's fine. If you don't like Frank Bonner, you don't like Barry Prince, that's fine. There's other choices out there. But I think Canada's right at the very beginning of its true media revolution. People are hungry for something different. They realize the CBC is bought and paid for. And they realize there's no, I mean, even forget CBC. Let's table that. Whether the National Post is supposed to be our conservative paper, it's garbage. It's basically like the Globe and Mail with softer language for conservatives. CTV, I remember a person recently said to me, CTV is the conservative news network. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I sat in and this is the other thing. In this period of time that you and I are talking, we've covered a lot of ground. I was sitting in a repair place, I don't know, a few months back, and CTV was on, because I don't watch TV. I get my news online from mainstream media websites, from everybody else. I get it all online. I watch their videos on their channels, but I stay away from the television. But anyway, the TV was on, so I paid attention. In 30 minutes, they covered four things. One was, it was during the Liberal Party convention. And so they gave 10 minutes to the Liberal Party convention, praising it, everything else. And then there was 10 minutes, which was like, Trump sucks. And it was literally that, and this was before the trade war and everything else. This was like, you know, dedicated to Trump sucking. And then there was some tough piece about birds, and there was something else. And that was it. That was 30 minutes of coverage, because I was stuck in that wig for a long time. That was it. 30 minutes. That's all they got. And you've watched one of my podcasts. I touch on a lot of stuff. A lot of other people can touch on a lot of stuff in 30 minutes and get it for free, you know. Yeah, their days are numbered, man.
Yeah, people are waking up to it, Frank. And the best thing you can do, as far as I'm concerned, is snip the cable wire in your house. I did that almost 4 years ago. I don't have any cable coming into my house. If I want to do something, I go on the internet. If I want to watch something, if I want to get information, it's all just a click away. So do yourself a favor, folks. Don't support the media giants that are running roughshod on us, and cut your wire. Boy, that would be a little blow to their pocketbook, wouldn't it, Frank?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I
if they, all of a sudden they lost a couple million subscribers, because you really don't need it, man. Anything you want, like I said, is a click away.
Yeah, I haven't had TV in 15 years. I haven't had a TV in hooked up TV in my house other than an antenna, and that's been gone for 10 years now. I do have the internet hooked up to my TV in my living room, and then I have it also hooked up to my desk, and that's how I do everything. I mean, there is no door closed to me, and I don't have to watch a single commercial. I mean, I don't know why people aren't doing this. It's right there, and I've got terrible expensive internet.
Yeah. Then you think about all the years you paid these guys 60 or 70 bucks a month for that wire coming into your house. I think about all the years I was on satellite, and I'm going, wow, I made somebody a lot of money, and I got fed a lot of bull crap. So I got rid of it. Maybe I'm a little bit behind you, but I urge people to snip that wire because you said you don't need it, man. Everything you need is on the internet. It's just a click away. And yeah, I got a big screen and I have a wire running from my computer. And if I want to watch something, I put it on my big screen, just like TV. What the heck's the difference? It doesn't cost me any money. But I cut the bull crap coming in. Anytime you got mainstream coming in, you're being fed with bull crap. So step number one, something everybody should do.
Once you're used to it, it's worlds better. I mean, it's self-directed media, whatever you want. I remember when I was a kid, and I mean a kid, like 5 years old, 6 years old in the 1980s, living in a South End, Oshawa. We had cable TV in that apartment. Actually, I don't even know if we had cable, but there was commercials, and I remember the commercials. It was for AT&T, and they had a bunch of people sitting around in the living room, and they were picking what show they wanted to watch from a list, and the advertisement was basically, we're going to deliver this to you in 5 years. And it never happened. It never happened until the internet came along, and now we have that. But, like, the dream has come true when it comes to media. Anything you want is available. I mean, hey, you want to watch, gopher fail videos, you can watch gophers fail for hours. If you want to watch cats, there's more cat videos than you can possibly imagine. If you want to inform yourself, there's 100 channels that have the information. If you want to learn how to grow garlic on the rooftop of a New York City skyscraper, there's probably a video out there for that. I mean, it's why would you ever subject yourself to the humdrum, boring mainstream media, and worse yet, pay for it? I mean, you gotta pay them for it. You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, you're right, Frank. Yeah. Anything you want to know, you can click on the internet. If I'm fixing my truck, if I want to know the price of rice in China, if I want to know how to grow soybeans, it's one click away. So you're right. Why would you pay for programmed garbage coming through a wire when we have this great tool called the internet? So, yeah, it's a wealth of information. I can find out anything about anything I want. And one of my hobbies is I buy and sell antiques. So if I go to a yard sale and I have to pick up something that I think is good, I can punch it up on the internet and find in 30 seconds exactly what I found. It's just unbelievable the source of information we have available to ourselves. And there's no excuse for people not being fully informed about what's going on inside our government right now, because, like I said, there's so much out there. And I said this in the first hour, is that, this information that's being put in front of us right now, it's absolutely undeniable, the levels of corruption in our government, what's going on in our country. So really, to me, Frank, there is no excuse for people not getting involved. And people that aren't getting involved, I say shame on you. Shame on you.
Well, and I think because I think about this, obviously, a lot. And
so do I.
To put some reason to it. We, in the 1980s, which is the world that, it was the analog world before everything turned digital. So I've got one foot in analog and I got one foot in digital. So I sort of understand it. In the 1980s, we had no power. The mainstream political parties were it. Print media was all you had. If you had a different voice, you had to self-publish your own books or you had to do your own research. And then you had a very limited audience that you could reach. Your audience was your community. You couldn't just put it on the internet. We take that for granted. So I think what happens is, people in my age group, like I'm 38 years old, and people who are older have felt disempowered for so long, and I feel like they've passed that feeling of powerlessness down to their children. So there's millennials, and there's the generation coming up under the millennials. I can't remember the hell they're called, but there's that feeling of we don't have any power. It's a residual. It's a residual of the world that existed right up until roughly the year 2000. Everything has changed since then, and we haven't, the human condition, the state of the national dialogue has not caught up to the technological revolution that's underway. There is nobody anywhere can honestly say they have no power anymore. I just, if somebody says to me, I can't do anything, it's a trigger. I get triggered. I'm like, you know what? That's lies. You've got all the power in the world. You just haven't deployed it yet. And that's not a judgment. This is a revolution. This is a revolutionary idea that people are actually powerful. Like, if you look at our governing institutions, our parliament, our senate, or you can look at any other country in the world, these institutions were designed for a world that doesn't exist anymore, Mary. It doesn't exist. We're in new worlds, and it's probably going to require new institutions to properly fulfill it, or bring it into realization or bring it into alignment. We haven't even begun to contemplate what it means. It's so young. I mean, the smartphones, what are they? 2008, was it? Was the first smartphone? Now everybody's got one. And people do their bookkeeping on it. I mean, oh, I can't even imagine. I mean, I got to have a keyboard and a desktop. I guess that means I'm archaic, but whatever. I got to have it. But yeah, everybody's got one now. Like, we don't even, anybody can go live on Facebook. They can watch a live stream. Like you were saying, they can learn about anything they have. And you can interact directly. And I've proven this. There's, you know, I don't give away people that I have private, confidential conversations with. This is a public conversation. It's not much different than the ones I have in private. The difference is there's national politicians in the Conservative Party that I call, and they call me back, and we have conversations, and I maintain their confidence. There's people who in positions of influence that worry about what I have to say. I don't know why. Like, I mean, it's crazy to think. But I don't say this in a braggadocious way. I say this to say anybody can duplicate what I'm trying to do and do it effectively if they want to. Like, this is the age of empowerment. People need to just reach out and take it, and we got it, you know? Mm.
Well, Yeah, you know what, Frank, about just before I went away to do the Morels this year, I actually was listening to some of the things that Maxime Bernier was saying. And I reached out to his constituent office and made a request for him to call me. And believe it or not, 2 days later, Maxime picked up the phone and I had a 15-minute conversation with him. And I laid it out to him exactly what I see about going on in Canada, how I feel about every issue that we could talk about. And I really kind of laid it out to him. And the man listened to me and we had a good conversation. And you know what? We can all do that. Every one of you listening can get involved and actually make a call to these people. And I was actually surprised that he responded to my request, but he did call me back. And I did have a heart-to-heart with the guy, and I just said, hey, you're going to hear it from an old Canadian, exactly what I see, what I feel, and what I understand about what's going on in my country. And the man gave me an opportunity to express my feelings, so we can all do the same. Go ahead, Frank.
No, it's right there. Ford was the same way. I had a couple conversations with him. And the thing is, it's also a respect thing. Bernie's in a firestorm right now. If I wouldn't even bother calling him right now because he's got enough on his plate. And since Ford is Premier of Ontario, I wouldn't even waste his time to give him a call anymore. Because it's about respecting that sort of access. The other thing that people can do, which is another thing I did, I drove up to Ottawa, and I spent a day up there and a night and then the next day. And I bummed around on Parliament Hill. I ran into so many different politicians, and it's like they're walking out of Parliament and going to their cars, and you can talk to them. They're right there within access. You can have private conversations. You can have public conversations. But, like, these people aren't out of reach. To think that you can't not only communicate with them and have a conversation, but also shake their tree, because Andrew Scheer's tree needs to be shaken. A lot of these conservatives in Ottawa, they need to have their clocks rung. They got to wake up, man. And the only way you do that is by applying pressure from below and getting it done. And I actually, you know, it's interesting. I really hope that somehow Tim Mowen can actually get a seat in Parliament one of these days, because, you know, it would be nice to have a libertarian in there sort of ripping things up. Like,
yep.
These people have value, and you have value. That's my point. People have value in this day and age. You just have to deploy it. Stop making excuses. It's right there. It's right there. There's no separation. Like, I've written, there's so many different people I've written and exchanged conversations with over the last 2.5 years to prove this point to myself that I'm not just a disempowered peasant. I might be a peasant, but I have the ability to communicate with the halls of power. And we can all duplicate that. You know what I mean? Like, I've proven it. Mm-hmm. You just got to reach out and take it.
Yeah, and I think it's critical that we all do that right now, Frank, because the window of opportunity to do this might close on us in the very near future. We see the attacks coming on free speech. We see the barbaric bills being passed through Parliament, M103, et cetera, et cetera. Every bill this government is passing is an outright attack on our freedoms. And, you know, we have this window still available to us right now, I believe, for a short period of time. But there's going to come a time in the future, the way I see things going right now, that that window is going to close. So there is, when I talk to people, I have to express an urgency in my voice because I do love this country and I love people, Frank, and I don't want to see coming to my fellow human beings what's going to come in this country. So really, it's kind of, to me, I just have a common sense approach about the fact that, you know, we all love our children. We love them to death. We don't want to see our family or our grandchildren subjected to absolute barbaric laws in Canada. But if we don't snip the head off this snake right now, that's what I see coming. And that's where I'm kind of at. I mean, we got to reach out and really start touching people's hearts, Frank, because the heart has been turned to cold. I mean, our hearts have been turned cold through many, many aspects of our society. And it's time that we really kind of look at each other in the eye and say, hey, what is the most important thing in our life? And I keep saying to myself, my children, my future, the love I have for people is the most important thing in my life. So that's why I'm here, speaking a common sense voice, buddy. It's craziness what we see. It's beyond craziness. But we're living in that age, and we're the ones that are going to have to identify, because we don't have another generation to fix these problems, Frank. We don't. Go ahead.
My thoughts for the day. No, we don't. I totally agree. This is a critical time. I would say the next 4 to 6 years globally is going to determine what the future looks like for the next 100 years.
Absolutely.
And you know, some people would make the argument that that's precisely why you got to shut up and you got to get on board. And even if, you know, if Shear's not perfect, or, you know, whoever's not perfect, you got to get on board and push forward. I totally disagree. We need heroes. This is the age where we need heroes, and we better find them, because heroes and champions, you know, and it takes a chorus of voices, but it's really helpful when you've got a champion that brings it all together. And, you know, whether you like it or not, the federal parties all have tremendous wealth and power, and we need them to champion these things to empower us and what and the effort, the individual efforts that we're making to try and advance these things and to try and ensure that the freedom and the prosperity and the liberty that we enjoyed, I feel I enjoyed growing up, that the liberty that I'm deploying, even though, you know, I get screwed around a lot on my Facebook and I have my problems, but I mean, it's still there. The internet is still largely free. There's problems, and you can see the assault really starting to ramp up, but it's still there right now. We haven't completely lost it, and that's why it is critical. In the next few years, we've got to get the right people and the right voices and positions of power and influence, and we have to be behind them pushing to make sure we don't lose what we have.
Very well said, Frank. Well, buddy, we're down to the last minute of the show. I want to thank you for joining me today. I look forward to our conversations in the future. I'm sure we'll be able to get together here in the next month or so and continue this conversation. I urge people to go out and take a look at Frank's podcasts. I find them very inspiring, very articulating in his speech, and very knowledgeable gentleman. So I urge you to go look at his videos. You know, we've gone full spectrum today, guys. And, you know, if I sometimes get emotional during the course of my shows, well, it's because my heart sometimes is broken, and my heart is broken right now in Canada. So I'm just asking you guys to get in there and get dirty, because we need to get dirty right now. That's all I got to say about that. Thanks for joining me. Thanks again, Frank, for joining me today. Thanks to Steve for producing my shows and for People's Internet Radio for giving me this platform. We'll see you again next week, same time, same place. One last thought for you, Frank, before I close out the show.
Yeah, no, I appreciate what you do. I appreciate you having me on. I do enjoy our conversations. And just if people are looking for me and they want to check out the podcast, my website is www.frankvaughn, last name spelled V-A-U-G-H-A-N, frankvaughn.ca. You can find everything there.
Hey, thanks, Frank, and thanks again for joining me today, guys. Thanks for everybody listening in, and I'll be back next week, same time, same place. Please tune in, and God bless you all. Have a great week. Bye for now.